helpful truths, and hopefully it'll be a help to us. I know it's a help to me every time I read it. It'd be nice if I get it and finally let it stay there forever. But every time I go through this and read this, there is disciples that are not able to cast out a demon. And they're there. Jesus is out up there on Mount Transfiguration. He comes down. There is a father that's there, and the father comes and he's beseeching the disciples. The disciples do not have the ability or the power or the faith to cast out the demons. Jesus comes. He deals with them a little bit. And later on, they come in verse number 27. It says, but Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Talking about the demon. Remember chapters earlier, as we're going through the Gospel of Mark, we've seen that they had the authority, they had the power. Jesus had sent them two by two on that preaching trip, and they had the authority and power to cast them out. And they're saying, what happened? Why is it that we could not cast them out? And Jesus said something, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. It gives, and we don't understand the spiritual realm. We don't understand. We know that there's demons, and we understand there's angels, and there's God who is in control, and he's on the throne, and all those different things. But there's, it seems like there's different levels. And here, there, and in the past, they had this power, but now he looks at them and says, it's because this kind can come nothing but by prayer and fasting. Saying that their hearts was not as surrendered, and they were not as interested, and there was something that they were lacking in their spiritual life to be as effective as they could be. And I'm interested in this because of the fact that, to me, this represents a little bit the church today. And you see that this man, this father, comes to his disciples. And once again, there's probably nine of them there because three of them are up on the Mount Hermon with Jesus. And they come to him, and he asks them about casting out the demon, and they try. And you're going to see in the picture that there's a group of scribes. And we already have learned from chapters before, the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leader, they're trying to find fault with Jesus. But how can you find fault with someone that's faultless? They're trying to find fault and trying to find accusation, and they're trying to say, you know, is it going to heal the withered man's hand earlier in the book? And we looked chapter 7 about the disciples not washing their hands. They're making up thing after thing after thing, trying to entrap Jesus. In the end, what do? They turn around, they hire people to try to make up lies about him, and they ask him at the, you know, finally at the end, they crucify him for saying he was the Son of God. But to go back to this, this man comes to them. He comes to these nine. He's seeking help for his son. For some reasons, these nine are not able to cast out the demon, and the scribes begin to question them. And you see this. The scribes aren't interested in the man. Scribes are not interested in the demon-possessed boy. The scribes are interested in making Jesus look bad and asking the questions. You can imagine what's going on and what they're saying. Why can't you cast out these demons? Did you really cast out demons before, or was it just a trick? And all these different things. And Jesus is coming down the hill, and he's coming down with the three disciples, and he comes up to him and says, why question thee? Well, let's go ahead and just read this story as it comes along. We'll tell the story as it goes along, but my main thought this evening is, where is the power gone? Where has the power gone? And is there power in our Christian lives? It's not the fact that God is not powerful, but is there something that we're doing or something that we're missing that's causing us to lack the spiritual power that God would like to have on his churches or even on our own lives? And we sit there, and I want us to be thinking about this as a whole, as a unit, but more importantly, individually, is there something going on in my life that I am not able to help people as God would intend me to? Is there something going on? Is there some type of disconnect? Jesus says to him, he says, this kind, talking about the spiritual battle, the realm that they're in, saying, this kind can come forth by nothing but my prayer and fasting. And the same story in the book of Matthew, there's the thought that's giving. He talks to them about their unbelief. Because of their unbelief, they had these issues. And so he says, because of your unbelief. He says, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. He's saying, if we would learn to pray and we would learn to fast, if we would see the need to be so important that we would fall on our knees and that we would spend times and seasons in prayer and be willing to take away some basic things and willing to sacrifice in order to hear from God, in order to see God move and work, is it worth it? And that's how it ties into the message this morning. The need was so great in that Syrophoenician woman's life. She was willing to take anything that was doused out. She was willing to listen, to have Jesus ignore her. She was willing to have the disciples say, send her away. She's bothering us. She was willing to even have Jesus talk about how he came to Israel first and referred to her as that dog in a sense that we talked about before this morning and all those different things. But she was determined. She resolved, I need to get help for my child. And that's what this man, this father here, similar story. But he brings his boy to the disciples. But the disciples could not. So the question is, why could we not cast him out? Look what it says in verse number 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them. And the scribes questioning with him. So I want you to picture. Jesus had just came off being glorified up on the Mount Transfiguration. As he comes down, it says, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed. Now, why were they saying they're greatly amazed? Maybe as Moses, when he came off the mountain, maybe there was some still of the reflection or the shine or what, the almost glowing in a sense. Maybe Jesus saying the same, because as they came down, he was greeted and they were greatly amazed. It says they running to him, they saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? They're there and they're being antagonistic, I'm sure. They're asking disciples, what's wrong with you? He's like, why are you bothering them? And then it continues on. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. As we read through this, I want you to see the, once again, the damage that the unclean spirit, the demon, has upon a child. As we mentioned this morning, this morning, the girl seemed like she was even a younger age. When Jesus asked the father, he says, as from a child. So this young man's probably a little bit older, but still, the devil doesn't play fair. The devil doesn't play nice. The devil is attacking not just an adult, not just a man, not just a woman, maybe a teenage, but I'm guessing an older child here. And he's looking at this and he's saying to him, the devil has made him dumb at different times. And look what it says in verse 18, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, kind of gives the idea of convulsions and throws him to the ground and causes them to kind of roll. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away, gives the idea that he's getting weaker and weaker and to the point where he is frail and he's pining away. And I spake to thy disciples and they should cast him out and they could not. So you can imagine this father, just like this woman this morning, but we see it a little bit more about the effects the demon has. And this boy is there, and you can see probably on the boy, he's probably frail, and you can tell there's something wrong with him. And you're going to see here that Jesus talks to him about the boy and talks about how the father has taken him and pulled him out of the fire and pulled him out of the water because the demon tried to burn him up. The devil tried to drown him. And he says, I came to your disciples. I came to the place where I thought I could find help. And guess what he says? I couldn't find any. They could not. They were not able to help me. I thought they were coming to a place where they could find help, but they could not. Let's keep on going. It says, and he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Now, who is he talking to here? Some might think he's talking to the father because of his lack of faith. Some believe he's talking to the disciples because of the fact he says it's because of your unbelief in the book of Matthew. Some think he's talking to the whole crowd because they've all seen and all experienced and watched and at least heard the stories of Jesus' miracles. Because if the father had not heard it, the father would have never came. So he says, "What? There's something that is wrong." And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And if you would just imagine for yourself a 10 to 12-year-old boy, and this is happening, he's frail, he's weak, and he's there, and he falls to the ground. And it is a sight to be seen. Our hearts are broken for it. And he says, and he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And it says, and oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. It's interesting. He comes to him and he gives the description here. Jesus shows interest. Jesus asks the question and he turns around and he says to him, if thou canst do anything. He brought him to Jesus because of the fact that he believed that Jesus could heal him. But when he got there, there was only the nine disciples. And when the nine disciples could not heal him, he began to doubt if Jesus could. And that's what he's saying. If thou canst do anything, if thou canst do anything. And look at that phrase, have compassion. So we talked about this morning what mercy looks like and what it means to be merciful. It means not just sentiment. It means feeling someone else's hurt. As William Barclay had said, that he gets inside the other person's skin and feel what they feel in a sense. And then responding and how we would want God to respond, want us to respond. But he says, have compassion. It doesn't say on him. He says, have compassion on us. I can imagine the father's, maybe his arms got some scars on them from where the son maybe scratched him when he was being controlled by the demon, or maybe some burn marks when he was pulling the child out of the fires. I can imagine the father is probably tired and the father is overwhelmed, and he thought he came to the place where he could get help. And he says, have compassion on us and help us if you're able to. If thou canst do anything, and he's doubting a little bit. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, he turns it around on him. God is able. He can. He's able to do all things. He says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And it says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. He's honest. He says, I just need help. Show me what I need to do. Lord, help me with my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. You get the picture that Jesus is dealing with this man and his son off to the side, and they see that Jesus is talking to him, and the crowd that had came, that had formed, that listened to the scribes arguing and fighting with the other disciples, they realize Jesus is getting ready to cast out the demon. It says, as they came running, Jesus doesn't say, oh, let's hold on for a second. Let's let everybody get in. Let's make sure everybody has a good view. He doesn't do that. He's there to teach. He's there to help. He's not up there to try to promote himself. He preached more than he did the miracles. He taught more than he did the miracles. That was what their emphasis was. He cast out the demon, and says that as the spirit left, he cried and caused the boy to fall to the ground, and he was laying there still. And that the people over there in the audience are saying, oh, look, he's dead. And then Jesus says he is the lifter up. He is the lifter upper. And it says in verse 27, and Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. What a powerful God we serve. Nine disciples together couldn't do what one Jesus could. And we all know that. But sometimes we feel like if we get enough people together and we get enough of our own power, enough of our own strength, enough of our own intelligence, we can come up with a plan. But God's plan is always what's best. It far surpasses, it's not even in the same category of human reasoning. God thinks higher than we do. God's ways are higher than our ways. It's when we learn that these things are nothing but by prayer and fasting. And that's what he says in verse 28. The disciples are concerned. The disciples are interested. The disciples want to know. They're confused. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you. And Lord, as I mentioned already, as this morning and also tonight, verses like this is something that should impact our hearts. That, Lord, we should have a desire to pray and seek your face. We see the spiritual blessing and the power that comes from prayer and fasting. There is a story here that the disciples who had walked with you, who had talked with you, who had spiritual power over demons at different times, but they came up against an obstacle they could not face. And Lord, they needed to pray and they needed to fast. They needed to be more resolved and more determined. Their faith was waning. God, as we look at this topic tonight, I pray that the people that are in this room, including myself, the people that may be watching online because they could not make it because of the weather, that we would all ask ourselves this question. Why do, if I don't have the Spirit of God or the power of God on my life, why? Is there something I need to be more dedicated in? Is there a greater prayer life that I need to have? Is it worth it? As we saw from the cipher for Phoenician woman this morning, it was worth it to her. She was willing to be resolved and she was rewarded for her faith. And God, when it comes to the fact that we look at our church or churches in America, to our church specifically, and we look in our own lives and we're seeking the power of God. We want to see God work. We want to see God move. We, like the disciples, should ask ourselves this question. God, why are you not using me like I believe you want me to? God, what is it that you want me to separate? God, what is it that you want me to do? And Lord, I pray that you would burden our hearts to have the desire, the interest, the want to. And not just sit there and point at other people and say it's their fault, it's their problem, but Lord, instead personally to ask, Lord, is there something that is stopping me from having the power of God in my heart, power of God in my life? Lord, we profess to be Christians and people see and believe what Christians are supposed to look like and what they're supposed to act like and supposed to be able to go to them for in time of help and in time of need. They're supposed to be able to turn to them like this man turned to the disciples wanting to help them, but they couldn't. God, there are some things, there are spiritual battles that there's going to be a greater resilience, a greater discipline that needs to happen. And Lord, there's probably things in our life today that there's a battle and strengths and things like that that only we're going to see victory on when we learn to pray, when we learn to fast. Lord, that tonight we would take a good look inside and ask ourselves, why could we not cast him out? Or better yet, Lord, why are you not using me like I believe you want to? Help me, Lord. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to think about is the lack of spiritual power. The lack of spiritual power. We see the scene and I see the father, I see the boy, and it's devastating, it's sad, but probably one of the saddest parts of the scene is that this father and this boy went to a place where they thought they could get help and they couldn't get any help. And sometimes I wonder when people go to us and they're looking for help, they're looking for spiritual wisdom, they're looking for spiritual guidance, they're looking for help from God. And if we're not close to him, if we're not walking with him, if we're not talking with him, if we're not praying, and if we're not surrendered to him, we cannot give them the help they need. This morning we talked in our children's church about John and Peter going into the temple in Acts chapter number 3. And we had that lame man from birth that was sitting there and he asked for alms. And what does Peter and John say? Silver and gold. He says something like fasten your eyes or look here or something like that. And he says to him, he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. He says, hey, look at me. He says, I can help you. I can help you with the greater need that you have. You think alms is what you need. You think money is what you need. I can help you with something even more important. And he gives him his hand and he talks about rising up in the name of Jesus. And I try to tell the young people today, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you have something to offer other people. You might not have money. You might not have the physical things that people think they need, but we have something that we can offer this world that's more important than money, that's more important than any physically thing we can do. We have a spiritual side that we can encourage people with. We can point people to Christ. We can show them. We can demonstrate. Now, there are times when we should help others. There are times when we should help those that are in need. We talked about that this morning, being merciful. We talked about being poor in spirit. And as we mourn over our sins, we'll understand that we should be meek in all our power and all our abilities under the control of God. And we hunger and thirst to do what's right. And sometimes that means we help the good Samaritan, like the good Samaritan did with the man on the side of the road. Or we learn how to forgive, even though somebody might not deserve. We do all those things because God has told us to be merciful. And when we have mercy, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It's that law of sowing and reaping. And I believe this is so true in our own lives that we as Christians, as believers, we want to help others. We want to help our families, our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our husbands, our wives, their community, the neighbors. We want to help everyone, but it's only if we're getting something from him. It's only if we have something to offer them. We have the ability to offer them something, but because of our sin or because of our unbelief or because of the fact we have valued other things higher than our relationship with God, that sometimes people will come to us looking for advice, and the best thing we can do is remain silent. Best thing we can do is point into somebody that's spiritual. That's sort of like David going in front of Saul and Saul trying to give him advice. That amazes me that King Saul is there, and King Saul should have been the one fighting Goliath. Instead, King Saul says, "Here, take my armor." King Saul could not help David at that moment because King Saul was afraid. King Saul was not living for God, but there was a young man that raised on the scene that says, "Hey, that guy can't talk about my God like that." Yet King Saul had nothing to offer to David. David had the spiritual wherewithal to know that he could fight this battle, and God's strength and God's power, he could do it. There is a lack of spiritual power, and to me, that's the saddest point of this whole scene. These men had performed countless miracles before. They lacked the genuine faith that was necessary to cast out this demon. These men had seen miracles. They had performed miracles themselves. But now it says, as it did at the end of verse number 18, the father said they could not. Not only do I put this as individuals, I put this as churches too. If we have the words Faith Baptist Church out there, that means something. When someone comes to a church, that is a place where they should be able to get help they need. It is a place where they should be taught the Bible and find people who love the Lord and find people that are interested in helping them. It's a finding a place for spiritual fellowship. It's finding a place that is a hospital where sick people can come and get the help that they need. And it's a place where people can grow and grow in their faith and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and things like that. The modern church seems like it has everything it needs to exist. It has nice facilities. It has skilled people. We have skilled singers. We have skilled people that do all types of things. But one thing that sometimes it seems like it lacks is the power of God. And that's what these disciples lack, the power of God to cast out this demon. So we see the lack of a spiritual power. I want you to think the Lord of spiritual power. And I know sometimes what might come in our thoughts and our minds is, well, maybe this demon was too strong for that. Maybe this demon was too strong for the disciples, that he was too strong for the Lord too. That's why the Father looks at him and says, "If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us." He begins to question. He begins to say, "If you are able to do anything, have compassion on us and help us." He begins to doubt that Jesus can, because his disciples couldn't. And I tell you, unspiritual Christians or a powerless church does not paint God in a good light. A powerless church, a powerless Christian does not portray Jesus in the right light. They cause people to sit there and doubt that when someone comes into a church service and it's cold, and when someone comes into a church service and they don't feel the Spirit of God, and they don't see Christian fellowship, and they don't see people getting along, and they don't see people acting like what the Bible should say and all those different things, and they don't see a Christian witness, they don't see a light shining. They see one group sitting over here, another group sitting over here. You see people that can't get along. You see people that aren't interested in worshiping, and people that aren't interested in serving, and people that aren't interested in being moved, people that aren't paying attention, or people that may be sleeping, or people that feel comfortable, gets getting up and leaving and things like that. They don't see someone's interested and don't see the power of God, and they're looking for that and they're longing for it. You know what? There's something wrong. There's something that's missing. That was something that was missing in those nine. And that my encouragement for you today is look inside our hearts to see if there is something in us. And it would be easy and quick to pull it over and say, it's this person's problem, and this person's problem, and this person's, and this person's, and that person's, and that person's. But who do we take care of? We look in ourselves and we go to him and say, "God, are you wanting to use me?" The answer is always yes. Of course he wants to use us. Yes, he wants us to be surrendered to him. Yes, he wants to fill us with his power. Yes, we can be filled with his Spirit. Jesus had the power to heal this demon. I believe Jesus could have used those nine disciples if their belief and their faith was strong enough. He could have. But he looks at them and he says to Matthew, it's because of your unbelief. And then he says, there's something, you need to be stronger. This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. We should be honest with him about our faith. I see this father here gets the help he needs. And I see the picture here, and we can pull the heartstrings by looking at the son and be overwhelmed because of how devastating the devil is. But how much more should that cause us to be resilient? How much more of that should cause us to get on our knees and pray? How much more of that should make us be more resolved and be working and looking and seeking and asking and searching by fasting and by praying? It's easy to point fingers, but it is so much more difficult to spend a season in prayer by making sure our heart is right and by looking at our actions and saying, is there something, Lord, is between me and you? Is there something, Lord? Search me, O Lord. See if there be any wicked way in me. And take everything and say, God, it's all out there, God. Whatever you want me to change, whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to surrender. That's what fasting is talking about. I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to set apart my daily needs or my daily desires so I can hear from you. He says, this kind. And he's saying, this spiritual battle. On this realm, this spiritual realm, if you want the power of God, it means that you're going to need to have the faith that God can use. So let's be honest about our faith. As the Father looks in verse number 22, he says, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Jesus was able to do this. He was trying to encourage this man's faith. His faith had become weaker because of the example of the disciples. And what does he do here? He says, look, I struggle. And he says in verse 24, he straightway, the father of the child cried out. And because of the need, because of the desire, because of so much that he wanted to see God work, he says, Lord, I believe, help now my unbelief. Maybe that's a prayer that some of us should say tonight. Lord, I believe. I want to see you working. I want to see you moving. Help me in the areas where my unbelief. That's why he looks at the disciples and says, the way that you're going to encourage your unbelief is by praying and by fasting. So that's how you're going to be able to fight this spiritual battle. And I know some of the challenges that we face today and the things that we look at and the things that we're going across, some of those burdens are so hard and they're so strong and we don't know what to do with them. And we want to see God work. We want to see God move, but we feel like we're struggling. Let's be honest with him about our faith. Let's say, Lord, I'm struggling here. I don't see you working in my life. I don't see you moving. I don't see you answering my prayers. My prayer life is cold. When I come to church, I don't hear anything. When I read your word, Lord, help me. Help me with my unbelief. Lord, I desire the power of God to be upon me. I desire the power of God to be on my life. It's worth to me more than anything else. I'm not going to be like that Syrophoenician woman. I'm going to be willing to take whatever's really the problem and issue, and you're going to be able to bring that up, and it's going to be okay, Lord. I'm willing to work on that. Okay, Lord, I want to hear. I want to know. The disciples do. They go over there and they don't stay sheepishly away from the Lord and doesn't say, oh, look, we messed up. There must be something wrong with this. He goes to them and asks the question, why could we not cast him out? Lord, tell me why you could not. And it was not an easy answer to hear. He says, it's because of your unbelief. He says, it's because you need to learn to pray and you need to learn to fast. And sometimes we need to hear this tonight. Is if we truly want the power of God on our lives and our family's lives and our church's life, we need some people that will say, I'm willing to pray. I'm willing to fast. I'm willing to do what it takes. I'm willing to deal with my sin. I'm willing to deal with these issues. I'm willing because I want the power of God. I don't want people to come to my life and seek help and need help. I don't want those family members I've been praying for to come and to get some spiritual wisdom and spiritual guidance, and I have nothing to offer them because I haven't spent quality time with God in a long time. I have nothing to say to them because God hasn't said anything to me for a long time. I don't want them to come to a church. The church has so many problems. They're dealing with their own problems that they don't have the power of God on their life to the point that they come looking for help and they're turned away because they could not. I want you to think about the lessons on spiritual power. We fail in the Lord's work and we lack his power for the same very reasons. We lack the power in our own lives and in our modern church's life because we lack spiritual discipline. As we talked about this morning, we talked about the resolve, the Syrophoenician woman, and that's why the message ties in together. We see the need here. We see them coming to that what's represented God, what represented the Jesus Christ, his disciples, and they could not. They didn't understand it. They were good people. They had some faith because of the fact that they were trying to cast out the demon. They didn't say, hey, you sit here and wait till Jesus comes back. And they truly did not understand why they could not cast them out, because if they knew it was their faith, that they knew it was the fact that they didn't pray enough and they didn't fast enough. Who's going to go ask Jesus why? They sincerely want to know. They sincerely want to say, God, please show me and tell me so I can work on this. God, please help me. And he says to them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. The disciplined life that's a Christian is sometimes missing. are we praying people? I love our Saturday morning prayer time with our men. It's a blessing and encouragement. But that's not the only time we should pray. And it's not the only time I think they pray. I think that's the reason why they show up. They get up early, some of them, to get here and be here on time. And I know we schedule a prayer meeting. Not everybody's going to show up. And I like I said, we usually have somewhere around 8 to 10 men. And on a Saturday morning in a church that doesn't have a ton of people, I think that's a blessing and encouragement. I know a lot of people work. A lot of people, that's their only day off. I understand all those things. But do we pray? Is it passionate? You can schedule your own time. You can find yourself your own prayer partner. You can go enjoy the time together and fellowshipping around the Lord. And it is, but this kind can come forth, but by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. Some people say we need new programs. Some people say we need more powerful personalities, or maybe we just need new buildings, or this or that, or this new. But I really truly believe is, we don't need to change in the idea of the way that we do things to try to become more like the world. I think what we need to do is to learn how to pray. We need to go back and seek the power of God. The power that comes when God's people get serious about seeking His face. The power that we get when we walk in His ways and we lean on Him for all we need. It will come, I believe, only then. So we saw this morning, this woman who was resolved was, even though there was obstacle after obstacle after obstacle, nothing was going to stop her from getting to Jesus. And we see tonight, as they came to the disciples, they were powerless. And how much do we want our churches and our families and individuals that we want to help those that are in need? We want to show that, but we struggle because we're powerless. And he says, because of your unbelief in Matthew, he says, we need to be more serious about our prayer time and our fasting. So tonight, is there something that burns in your heart? Is there something that challenges you? And like I said, it would be easy, and it's easy for me to turn around and look at somebody and say, hey, it's this person's fault. They don't want to deal with that. It's that person's fault, or is that person's fault? And he doesn't look at the nine and say, hey, it's Andrew's fault. He did this wrong, and it's Judas's fault, and it's, you know, all the other nine disciples were there. They were good people, except for maybe Judas Iscariot, obviously. But they were all, and they thought they were doing the work of the Lord. They did not just say, hey, we can't cast them out. They were there, and they were going through the motions. They were going through the actions, but it was not productive. They did not have the power of God. And that's what I said, we need to seek. That's what we need to search for. We want to see God work. We want to see God move. It's not about, and this is what church looks like. This is what church is for. Church is nice when you have friendship. Church is nice when you have fellowship. But it's a place where God wants to use it to press forward for the glory of God. And sometimes we put our relationships over our relationship with Him. Sometimes we place our friendships and the things that happen and make sure that we're comfortable than we do about saying, what can I do to bring glory to God? Sometimes people at certain churches, they have cliques over here and cliques over there and cliques over there, and no one wants to talk to this person. No one wants to talk to this person. That's when they're coming into the church and they're not finding the power of God. The Bible talks about unity. The Bible talks about the church being of one mind and one spirit, you know, going forth for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's something that we should desire to say, is it something in me that is causing the power of God not to be upon my life? Is there something I need to be more serious about when it comes to prayer and fasting? Is there something I need to do with my unbelief? And as this father would say, as he cried out with tears because he saw how great the need was and how much the burden was, it says he cried out with tears when he said, in a straight way, the father and child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Would we be moved tonight to say, Lord, I do believe, but I know there's something I'm struggling with. Help me with the areas I struggle. Help me with the areas I have unbelief in. Help me with the areas that I do not want to take that next step in, or those things that help me in my spiritual discipline. Help me, Lord. And that way, I think it'd be not an unfair question to ask as the disciples did. Why could we not cast them out? Now, we're not talking about you going around casting out demons. I know that that's something, even there's some movie coming around talking about casting out demons and demons being involved with Christians. I don't believe a demon, that Jesus and the Holy Spirit and a demon could be in a person's life. I mean, if you're a Christian, a believer, I don't think you can be demon possessed. But I know that's what the movie's talking about per se. I think they can be oppressed. I think they can struggle because of the attacks of the devil and all those other things. But I'm telling you, maybe you can word the question differently, but the thought, I know God would understand the thought, the Holy Spirit would understand the thought. Why could not we cast them out? Why can we not see the power of God? Is there something in my life? I want to see God move. I want to see God's power. I desire revival. What is it in my heart, in my life? If there is something, Lord, please reveal it to me. Search me, O Lord. See if there be any wicked way. Some people will come and they will listen and they'll say, why don't I have the power of God? There'll be some that do that. Probably not most. Some that have an interest. There'll be even a few that will maybe follow through tomorrow and say, I'm interested. I want to pray more. I want to schedule a time to fast. There'll be some that just lets it go in one ear and goes out the other ear, thinking everything is good and everything is fine, not seeing the need. When our world is struggling, when our families are struggling, when we have, it seems like sin right in front of our faces and we do nothing about it. And then we have those that say, Lord, why couldn't we cast them out? Lord, why aren't we seeing people helped? Lord, why aren't we seeing people saved? Lord, why aren't we seeing families staying together? Lord, why aren't we seeing people be called? Lord, why? And we ask those questions. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking those questions. If we're willing to sit and listen to what God says, if there's something that's missing in our life. And if there's nothing missing, then wonderful. He'll encourage us. I know the messages today might seem harsh or piercing. Don't worry, next Sunday morning on the schedule, on the list, there's a message that I think is a little bit more encouraging than all these other ones that might be more pointed. I like the pointed ones because the pointed ones help me. Some people just want to hear the encouraging, everything's good, everything's fine. Go watch the news, go see churches today, go see our lives and see how people act. Everything's not good, everything's not fine. Thankfully, God's in control and God's power can help us as a church. We can step forth to do something for Him, but that's not going to happen unless we're serious about our Christian lives and that we would make sure that our hearts are right and if we deal with our unbelief. Say, Pastor, I believe in God. What are you talking about, my unbelief? The belief that it means that I believe that God wants me to. I believe God for what He says when He tells me to pray. I believe what God says when He tells me to be a witness. I believe what God says when He tells me to forgive. I believe what God says when He tells me to be faithful. I believe what God says when it comes to giving. I believe what God says when it comes to serving. I believe, I trust in Him. I take these steps of faith. I act like that. Like I said, these 9 men that were there, they lacked in faith. And God says, if you want to be used, if you're going to be used in this way, and this power, and this strength, you're going to have to become more spiritually disciplined. They believed, but it was their unbelief. Maybe we should ask the Lord. Lord, I want to be used by You. Show me why You're not. Or praise Him for using you. I saw God answer prayers this past week. Not as many as I'd like to, not as many as I believe could have been. I've seen God work. I was encouraged yesterday with our outreach Saturday. We had a number of people here. It was a blessing to be able to do that. It was a blessing to hear and see some people visiting our church. It was a blessing that someone's getting baptized next week. I'm not saying everything's horrible and wrong. I'm saying look inside our hearts to see if there's something that God wants to fix so He can use us. That's what I'm desiring because we want the power of God on our church. Amen. We want God's power in our lives. Let's ask Him, why couldn't I cast them out? God, I know You want to use me, but I don't see You working in my life. Is there a reason? Let's pray.